Chapter 5. The tangy scents of rosemary and peppermint perfumed the car. Drawing a deep breath of the heavenly fragrances that came from the herbs nestling in the escape's cargo area, I thought about my visit with the Jenkins twins. Visiting with Miss Georgia and Miss Carolina usually left me with a contented glow. Their warm hugs, as they had invited me into their huge, shady house with the wide and high front porch, made me grateful for these two ladies in my life. "Now, keep that mint in a pot, Darcy, honey," Miss Georgia had said. "Mint just goes wild if you put it in the ground with nothing around to make it behave." "There's all kinds of mint," Miss Carolina added. "I kind of like for it to run free. Doesn't bother me if it takes over. There's pineapple mint and chocolate mint. Even out in the woods, there's horse mint. I remember walking through it as a girl and smelling good the rest of the day." After a cup of tea, herbal, of course, and instructions on the care of an herb garden, I said goodbye to the Jenkins twins and headed for Mom's house. Mom had decided to keep, rather than sell, the beautiful old home I had grown up in. Earthquakes had damaged it somewhat last year, but we'd had it repaired and inspected to be sure it was safe. I didn't think I could bear for anybody else to own it with its memories of Dad and Grant and even Jake on our visits home from Dallas. When Mom and I moved into the new house, we took her dining table, her yellow coffee pot, and several pieces of furniture, but left the rest. Placed among the new sofa and chairs, beds, and appliances, the familiar pieces made our present home seem more comfortable. To have started in such a horrific manner, with the fire and dead body, this day was turning out to have some bright spots. Grant had phoned before I reached the Jenkins' home. The result was he would pick me up at the old house and we would go for that delayed lunch. As I parked in the familiar driveway and climbed out of my SUV, a roar behind me stopped me in my tracks. Coming toward me was a big black motorcycle ridden by someone wearing a helmet and goggles. As I watched, the cyclist pulled into the driveway, cruised past my car, and mowed a path through my mother's bed of zinnias. "Hey, are you blind?" I yelled. Pushing the kickstand down with a black-booted foot, the stranger swung off his cycle's deep leather seat and faced me. When he pulled off his helmet and goggles, I did a double take. This man was tall, almost as tall as Grant. His hair was dark and curly. His eyes were midnight blue, fringed with long lashes. He was beyond attractive. He was movie star handsome, and he reminded me of Jake.
"I'm sorry, ma'am," he said with a southern drawl. "I was so taken with the beauty of this house that I didn't look where I was going. I'll certainly pay for those lovely flowers if you'll tell me what I owe you."
I gulped and shook my head. "Money can't replace that flower garden. Just pay attention next time, please. Why are you here? Were you following me?" Perfect white teeth glinted as he laughed.
"Following? No, I wasn't following. I heard this house might be for rent, and I was hoping to meet with the owner. Would that be you?"
What was there about this stranger that reminded me of my husband? His dark hair, the light in his eyes, or maybe it was just the energy I felt emanating from him. He made me uncomfortable.
"It would," I snapped, "but I think it's already spoken for. Our new preacher is supposed to look at it."
With a disarming grin, which showed a deep dimple in his cheek, he said,
"That would be me, Trace Hughes, Miss..."
A preacher? A Clark Gable look-alike on a motorcycle? I think I meant to shake hands with him. Maybe I was just going to lean against the motorcycle for support, which was a foolish idea, but shock froze my brain. However it happened, I stepped toward Trace Hughes, stumbled, and my capri-encased leg grazed the exhaust pipe of his cycle. It was hot.
"Ow!"
I yelled, dropping to the ground and grabbing my leg. The spot which had come in contact with the motorcycle was red and quickly forming a blister. It hurt, not just a little, but a lot. The preacher knelt beside me. Gently, he turned my leg toward him and scrutinized the burn.
"I'm so sorry again,"
he said, his eyes meeting mine.
"This sure isn't the way I planned to introduce myself to the town of Levi. I think we'd better get you to a doctor. Could I be of assistance?
Asked a familiar but strangely cold voice. Glancing up, I saw Grant glaring down at us. His thumbs were hooked in his belt, his hat was tilted over his eyes, and if the unsmiling line of his mouth was any indication, I guessed that he was not the least bit happy.